Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk about breast microseed treatment. It is a new form of breast cancer treatment, and it's available around here and not many other places. And we're going to get into all that, too, this morning. A couple of guests, Dr. Kay Blanchard, back with us. Dr. Blanchard, it is always good to have you here. Seems like you were just in.
It seems like, but great to be here again.
Great to have you. And we welcome to the program Elaine Morgan, who's going to tell her story at some point this morning. Elaine, great to have you too. Thanks.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Dr. Morgan, breast microseed treatment, I had never heard of this, and the little bit I have read about it is it seems like it's not a lot of people have heard about it. It's fairly new.
It is brand spanking new, and it actually makes perfect sense when you think about the technology part of it. I know a lot of men out there know about prostate treatment, cancer treatments using seeds that are implanted in the prostate to deliver radiation. Well, they have developed the same technology to put it in the breast, and so that's essentially what we had done with Ms. Morgan here.
So Elaine was the first. Was she the first one in this area to receive this kind of treatment?
Yes, she was.
Well, Elaine, tell a little bit about your story. When you were diagnosed, when and when did they say to you this is the kind of treatment we'd like to do?
I received my diagnosis the last of December, and they referred me to Dr. Kay Blanchard to be my surgeon, which took me on a wonderful path. So I go to Dr. Blanchard, and we set up to do my lumpectomy after she reviewed all of my medical history and what was found by doing a, loss for words.
3D mammogram.
3D mammogram. So I get this 3D mammogram, and it produced the small cancer that I had. And it was invasive cancer, so that's kind of scary. So she said, let's do a lumpectomy. I can get this out. So we did that, removed a little bit of my lymph node, and then she went on this trip to see about this microseed surgery that they could do instead of radiation, and I said, let me be your first. And she said, we'll talk about it when I get back. And when she got back, I was on the agenda. So about 2 weeks ago, I had my microseed implant.
Wow, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
You did really just have this.
Yes, it's like one-stop shopping. You go in there and you get your implant put in, and then this is it. There is no reaction. There's no skin reaction. There's no burning. There's no multiple treatments. It was minimally invasive. I was up and around the next day, and it's been an amazing experience.
Wow, Dr. Blanchard. I mean, explain that when you told Elaine you were going on a trip to find out about this. How did this all take place? When did you find out about it?
Well, actually, Dr. Chenault, the radiation oncologist at Mary Washington, had approached me and had just heard about this new procedure. He had actually had talked to the gentleman, Dr. Jean Pignol, from Rotterdam. And had learned about how to do this and had some discussion and followed the literature about how this is a partial breast irradiation, but it's as effective as doing external beam radiation, which is the multiple trips going back and forth. So he had been reading about it. He'd been talking about it. He'd been talking to a number of people about doing this protocol and was interested in doing and offering it here. And so we went to Rotterdam with the chief physicist at Mary Washington, Dr. Rana, and we all went to the OR in Rotterdam at the Erasmus Institute with Dr. Pignol and watched him proceed with two patients on how to do this particular procedure. And we came back with that thinking, well, you know, that sounds like a really ideal protocol for a certain number of patients. It's not for everybody, but for the patients who can do this partial breast irradiation and want a one-shot treatment, it's ideal. We have a number of patients who commute to D.C., and they can't take a lot of time to do the 3 to 6 week partial breast or whole breast radiation. And so this is an ideal situation for some patients. Again, not for everybody, but for some patients. And Mrs. Morgan was just an awesome patient. And when I first said something to do it, it was no hesitation. She said, sign me up. Mm-hmm. So we did.
Can't miss it.
Interesting, because a lot of times people might think, you know, how new is this? And but you obviously trusted what Dr. Blanchard told you.
Well, not only that, I had also had an examination by Dr. Chenault, and he also concluded. And I mean, it's just, I've had nothing but excellent teams, you know, great confidence, people who were just comfortable talking with, who answered all the questions, all of the right protocol that I needed. And it was easy to step up. I have no problems. It was just a wonderful thing to do.
Well, and when you talked just a few minutes ago about one stop, boy, you know, when you think of the treatment that you might have been facing, this sure changes just the whole treatment.
Absolutely. I had another friend who spoke with me who had breast cancer, lumpectomies, and she had to go to D.C. for radiation. And it was multiple trips, signing up, you know, people every day to get her up there to these treatments and get her back home and stuff. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't have to do that. I mean, I've had one lumpectomy treatment and I went home. It was walk-in surgery and I got to go home and heal. I go in and I have my microseeds and I go home and I heal. You know, I've had my port input and I go home and I heal. And it's just within 5 miles of my home. Why would I want to go anywhere else? We need this technology here. It's at Mary Washington. How can we not get it here and bring these people in here to help their lives?
Well, and Dr. Blanchard, I see that this is the only location in the D.C. area, and just mm-hmm. one of three on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. We always talk about how fortunate we are mm-hmm. to have the treatment that we have, but mm-hmm. you take a look at this, and we really are fortunate.
Yes, it's thanks to the whole group of people, to the commitment of the community. We have a cancer center that we keep up with all the latest and progressive type treatments, get together and talk every week about patients and what's the best mm-hmm. protocol. We treat patients as people, not as their cancer. And so it's a decision on everybody's part, the community, and most importantly, the patient. And it's what the patient wants and is available for them. So we think it's very important to be very patient-directed.
Well, when Elaine said that she relived the conversation that you had about taking a trip, and I'm thinking, so you went up to Philadelphia or to Boston or maybe Chicago or, you know, at the most, L.A., and to know that, you know, you went overseas to Rotterdam and looked at this. You know, if it's out there and it's available and somebody thinks that this is mm-hmm. something you want to look at, obviously there's nothing too far.
Mm-hmm. We actually had the choice. There's a place in Canada, I think Nova Scotia. We could have gone there. But John and I said, you know, I've never been to Amsterdam. So
it sounds so
we
much
said,
better.
Oh, it was a lot. But I imagine a lot warmer than it would have been in Nova Scotia.
By going to Amsterdam, they were also able to be right heads-on with Dr. Pignol,
who developed the protocol.
Yeah.
So then they were also able to say, Dr. Pignol, won't you come over and watch us mm-hmm. do this to Elaine? And he did.
Oh, he did?
He did.
He was here. Mm-hmm. He was in the room when they did my mm-hmm.
For you, that had to be kind of exciting. That
absolutely.
The person who
I'm
developed
like,
this?
Rock star. I mean, they mm-hmm. brought him over from Amsterdam, and it was just amazing. I mean, you've got the head guy who's been doing this, and you read up on his history, which I did, mm-hmm. and it's phenomenal. And you're thinking, oh, this guy's going to be in there with Dr. Chenault and with Dr. Blanchard. How could I not have been blessed?
Yeah, yeah. What an exciting story. And another, it just happened. This isn't mm-hmm. like it happened several
she
years
said,
ago.
She said, I'm going to Amsterdam. I said, take me with you. She said, I can't. I says, well, don't you need a patient over there? She said, no, but I'll see you when I get back. And we did. I mean, it was like that.
Elaine Morgan here, Dr. Kay Blanchard here. We're talking about breast microseed treatment. It's available with through Mary Washington Healthcare. That's what we're talking about this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Breast microseed treatment, our focus this morning. It is available and offered through Mary Washington Healthcare. That's what we're talking about this morning. Elaine Morgan is in. She is one of the people who is the first person in this area who has gotten this treatment. And Dr. Kate Blanchard here talking about it too. Elaine, you seem like a different kind of, and I mean different in a good way. Hmm. I mean, you have approached this, I think, in a way probably doctors embrace, having someone like you who's, you know, open to trying things, and you know, you were explained this and agreed to do it.
It's the only way you can be. When you're offered a new solution to something and you do a little bit of research on it and it seems to be the simplest way to go, and you also understand that I was told this has been used on gentlemen for prostate cancer for years, so why wouldn't it work for this?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't miss that note. When you find out it's been so successful for men in prostate, then why can't it be successful for women in breast cancer? And that's exactly the way that they're approaching this in Rotterdam. So why not? And Dr. Chenault was very, very promising when he discussed this with me. So it was the only avenue to take.
Now, you were diagnosed in December. And anytime you hear cancer or you're diagnosed, it's a shock.
It is. It's you know, the first thing is, what the hell? Okay. And then you breathe deep and you have to wait until the results come back. And then you come back and you only hear certain words. You know, I heard small. Dr. Blanchard said, I can get this out. We're going to do a lumpectomy. Then the next word you hear is invasive. And then you think, oh, God, what have I done? Okay. The good news is I had a 3D and it caught it very, very small. The other good news was Dr. Blanchard could get it out with minimally invasive. And she was able to take the lumpectomy and take the lump out, my sentinel node mm-hmm. and my lymph node out. I have maybe 4-inch scars on my left breast, mm-hmm. one on my armpit, one on my breast. It's been minimally invasive. And then the next step was to see Dr. Chenault for radiation, and they come back from Amsterdam. And then it was just walk the walk. I mean, I embraced their knowledge, and the technology is here. So we have to get this out there for other women and make sure the information is out there.
Dr. Blanchard, you and I have talked. I mean, you're the one who introduced me to and explained about 3D mm-hmm. mammography and how great that technology mm-hmm. is.
Yes. One of the things that 3D does is it can pick up very small cancers, where the usual mammograms are just basically two different views. And I tell patients this. I know this is a visual, but I usually say patients, it's like squish, picture. But then with 3D mammograms, it's squish, and then picture, squish, picture. So instead of like, say, a 2-centimeter piece of breast tissue between two paddles, it's like 1-millimeter cuts. And so the advantage of that, it sees through a lot of the densities that mm-hmm. The 2D mammograms will miss. There have been fewer callbacks, and they have caught some incredibly small cancers recently with the 3D mammogram. And it's something that's offered at Mary Washington mm-hmm. as well.
Mm. Just the technology, mm-hmm. you think about it, and you think of what our mothers and grandmothers mm-hmm. and, you know, the things that they didn't have mm-hmm. and the technology that we have today.
Well, Dr. Blanchard, when she showed this to me, my son was with me, and I thought, how incredible, my son's sitting here looking at his mother's breast x-ray, right? But she was able to bring it up in her office
yeah.
and show it to us in the dimension, and you can see the little spot of cancer, and she could show this to me. And then you can put that in the rationale, the portion of how small this thing, 1.2 mm-hmm. centimeters. Mm-hmm. And then she can show this to you on that. My son and I were just amazed at this technology that we could see. And here mm-hmm. it was. Here this one was explaining everything to us in detail, and this is what I'm going to do. And it worked. And it worked.
Yeah. One of the most important things that I like to do is explain and educate patients
oh, yeah.
on what's going on, because I have a lot of people come in and they hear cancer and that's all they hear, and they think, oh, they're going to die from breast cancer. It's not the case. And when you break things down and explain to patients exactly yeah. what's going on here. And I think the visual is so useful.
Absolutely.
You see how tiny this is compared to everything, that it just makes more sense and makes people a little bit more, I guess, empowered on their own treatments, on, okay, this is it. And you're one of an amazing patient, one of the most amazing patients that I've dealt with, and I appreciate it. And I have dealt with a lot of amazing women through this whole journey. And I think it's very useful. Get the information out. This is not – it's scary. It is. No doubt about it, but it's totally treatable.
It's the C word. Mm-hmm. Anytime you hear the word cancer, you know, it's the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, we all have the death penalty at some point. We have to realize that. Mm-hmm. But, boy, we're going to walk this walk different.
Did you – Elaine, was your cancer found just through, like, a regular mammogram?
3D. Okay. It was a Christmas present to myself. I was scheduled for my regular 3D mammogram.
Yeah.
I went up to Mary Washington, and I just went – when I called in to make my appointment, she said, are you interested? And I said, you know what? Sure, I'm going to. And it cost me money out of my pocket, which I think is wrong. It is wrong. It should be free and available to every woman out there. I part of their insurance plan. I don't get the extra money. But it was a Merry Christmas present for myself. And then they called me back. And I didn't like that. And they did another, and then they confirmed it. And I did not do any research. I had no idea where to go if this was. And they recommended Dr. Kay Blanchard. And there went the walk.
We have a similar story, because I had a very similar case with cancer, too. And just to be able to be treated in this community.
Here, at Mary Wash.
Fantastic.
Who knew all this stuff was sitting at Mary Wash? Mm-hmm. I've never been a person who's had a lot of illness, had no clue. But it's here. It's in Fredericksburg. And we need to get this information out for all these women that don't need to be going somewhere else.
Dr. Blanchard, because she mentioned the 3D found it was small. Would a regular mammogram, do you know, would a regular mammogram have picked it up at that point?
Probably not that small. I think at some point it would. The regular mammograms would have caught this.
Yeah.
And you talked about the extra cost, and a lot of the insurance companies now are catching up with paying for the extra fee for the 3D mammograms. And so I think now the insurance companies are finding out that, yes, there's smaller cancers, less callbacks, and so they are covering the copay on it. And so I think will be less women who have to pay.
Do we have an idea of the difference between long-term radiation treatment for breast cancer and the microseed implant? What's the cost difference?
You know, cost is something I really don't know about.
I don't either. Yeah. And I don't even know what my insurance is going to do to this, because, I mean, I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's a thought. I just don't know.
I've been assured that it will be no more than what the usual radiations cost. And so, again, that's something
I'd like to find out. It's cheaper.
Yeah. I can't imagine anything's going to be cheaper, but
no, but
you
know,
how it goes.
Time, you're not, but, as you've described, it's you know, the one-stop shopping aspect.
Oh, well, look, I mean, I'm not rosy red from radiation treatment. I don't have the skin peeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I had read up on all of this, certain creams that you need, and cornstarch and deodorants and your clothing hurting you and all this other stuff. And la, la, la. No, it's not.
No,
here I am.
That's why when you came in today, I assumed that this was something that has been done for 6 months or so.
No.
And that's why when you first gave the timeline, it was because you look. I would never know that you have any kind of cancer.
No. There was bruising at the site where the microseeds went in, and it went in around where my lumpectomy went. Bruising, and that was it. I was sore. I won't say I wasn't sore, but like I said, I went home, dressed casually, and I dressed comfortably, and it's been on my own. I don't need anybody taking me somewhere. I don't need somebody helping me because I'm sick. It's been fabulous.
So afterwards, you didn't feel any sickness. I mean, I'm sure everyone's different of how they react.
Well, they put me to sleep. So I think my worst was my sore throat from where they keep me, that thing they put in your, they keep you from snoring, a little bit of anesthesia wearing off. And I woke up in the morning and I was sore. I won't say that, a little ice pack, you know. And then I stayed low for 2 days, I think, and off I went. Yeah.
I would like to point out that microseeds are not for everybody. We're very restricted on who we offer these treatments to because it is a partial breast irradiation. So some of the criteria are the women have got to be 50 years or older. The margin of the lumpectomy cavity, which means the clearance around where the tumor is, has to be about 2 millimeters. Anything less than that, we wouldn't want to do partial breast irradiation. The lymph nodes have got to be negative because then we worry about in transit tumor cells if the lymph nodes are positive. Also, the confirmation of the cavity, how close it is to the skin and the chest wall. There's a lot of criteria that have to be met, so it is not for everybody. But she did meet the all the criteria and then some. So, yes, awesome. Rock star.
It is not often that I have two rock stars as guests, and I have two rock stars this morning. I always knew you were Dr. Blanchard, and now I've met Elaine Morgan. Elaine Morgan, Dr. Kay Blanchard here this morning. We're talking about breast microseed treatment available through Mary Washington Healthcare. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Breast microseed treatment, our focus this morning, and its availability in this area through Mary Washington Healthcare. Dr. Kate Blanchard is here. Elaine Morgan is here, who has been through the treatment real recently. Dr. Blanchard, you were just talking before we took the break about the criteria. Mm-hmm. And I guess as time goes, will that change some of that criteria over time, or how does that work?
It probably will. The criteria are based on what patients have the lowest risk of a local recurrence. And I've been doing partial breast irradiation, one form or another, for the last 15 years or so. And I started out using these balloon implants that we put inside the cavity itself. Mm-hmm. And the patient would walk around a week with this balloon implant where the mm-hmm. seed would be passed into the center of the balloon twice a day for 5 days. And that was a partial breast irradiation. And when we started doing that, those same criteria that I just mentioned were part of that that the patient population that we used. Well, since then, they've actually relaxed that because they have more long-term follow-up. And Elaine is part of a research registry that is doing the same thing, following women who have had this seed implant or the microseed implantations that will follow her for the next, 2, 5, 10 years to verify that this is very effective treatment, and probably will relax those criteria as well as the treatments have been more long-term follow-up.
Still, Elaine, you're like George Washington with this treatment here.
You know, anytime someone offers me an opportunity to get this word out or whatever I can do to follow through, like the registry, why not sign up for it? It just allows them to follow my case history and see where it leads. Mm-hmm. Just going to help someone else.
But when you and Dr. Blanchard, when you think about the regional cancer center, and you know you've mentioned the imaging center for women, there are a lot of good places around mm-hmm. here, and a lot of a lot of options for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with the 3D mammograms that again we've started, our imaging center for women have started about 2.5 years ago now, mm-hmm. that are now at Lee's Hill and at Stafford, the imaging centers that can allow the 3D mammograms. And I think that's a very progressive way of evaluating women for small cancers. And so, yes, that's available in 3 different locations in this area.
When you think about it, as you've described your treatment, so often cancer, any kind of cancer treatment, breast cancer treatment, any kind of cancer treatment, it's just not like you're a lot of times in the past you've been really sick, and you think of the changes that have come just with chemo and how not everyone now is so sick, and you think of this breast microseed treatment. Hopefully, one of the things that comes out of all of this is people aren't so worried and hesitate to go get the tests done to be able to detect this.
Well, you know, with breast cancer, we've always been told the sooner you find it, the better. Mm-hmm. So we've always been told, get your yearly mammogram. Had a neighbor that was diagnosed with breast cancer, worked with her for many, many years, and she just passed away a year ago, this last November. And she did not follow up. Mm-hmm. And when they found it, she was in stage four. Mm-hmm. So I happened to be driving down the road, and it's time for that yearly mammogram. And I thought, oh, dear Valerie. So I did. I made my appointment. So as soon as you make it, the sooner you follow through. And if you think you have anybody in your past history that has breast cancer, then you should be urging your mothers, wives, your sisters, your daughters, get that baseline mammogram. And I would argue, if I had breast cancer history in my background anywhere, I think they should lower the age of getting these baseline mammograms.
They do.
I think, telling someone 40, I would argue with my doctor. If my mother had it, I'd say I'd want mine at 30. And I've been getting them since mm-hmm. I was 30.
You've talked about that, Dr. Bunch, and you've told me the story different times about knowing your family history, mm-hmm. that sometimes people don't, or it's not talked about, and they don't know their family history, and they needed to.
Yeah, I think I told you the story before where when I was in Florida, I had a 26-year-old young lady come in with breast cancer, and she'd had a lump that she'd felt, maybe 6 months previously. And she had no family history of breast cancer. Well, she felt a lump, thought it was a cyst, and kind of ignored it. Well, it comes to find out, by the time I saw her, it was a pretty large, pretty aggressive tumor. And then after we operated on her, I met her mother, who had breast cancer, and three of her sisters who also had breast cancer, but they didn't talk about it. And so had this young woman had known that there was this family history, that she might have paid a little bit more attention to this tiny lump that she initially had felt. So family history is a huge deal, and I agree, if there is a family history, maybe not 30, but maybe 35 to start at least a first mammogram. Unless, say, your mother had breast cancer at 40, you start your mammograms 10 years previous to that.
Right.
So at 30, if your mother had had breast cancer at 40, you start at 30. If your mother had it at 30, then definitely genetic testing is also an issue. But yes, if there's a family history, I think people should talk about it. I don't know if you remember way back in the, you were talking about progressing treatment of breast cancers. I remember when a woman would go in for a breast biopsy and end up without a breast.
Oh,
because
my aunt was that way.
Okay, so they used to go where you would get your biopsy while you're on the operating table, and you would agree that, yes, if I had breast cancer, I would have a mastectomy done at that time. And so you wouldn't know if you had cancer until you woke up and were horrified that you didn't have a breast. And so things have really progressed since then in a very good way.
Mm-hmm. What the statistics are, what, 1 in 8 women?
1 in 8 women in their 90s will have had breast cancer. And so, yes, the older a woman gets, the higher the risk of breast cancer. And so I have a whole lot of women who've got no family history of breast cancer, at least that they're aware of, and still, you know, develop breast cancer for whatever reason. If I knew what the cause of breast cancer was, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be in Norway in Oslo with a Nobel Prize, but that ain't going to happen. So we have to do with what we
Amsterdam was good enough.
Okay. That was definitely. And by the way, the Heineken Brewery was there. So yeah, I have pictures of that.
We are talking about breast microseed treatment on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Dr. Kay Blanchard and Elaine Morgan here. And before we get out of here, we're going to talk again, and we'll finish the show in case you missed it, about just what exactly happens with this breast microseed treatment. And we've talked about the need for regular checkups. Self-exams, does that need to be done too? Is that part of the whole deal?
I totally think so. Now, the American Cancer Society had said women not to do self-exams, which I don't think is a really good idea, because women know their breasts better than anybody. And I've had another number of women come in, their partners have found their breast cancers. That happens too. But I think if you don't know your lumps and bumps, some things can get out of control. So I really think self-exams are a very important part of that.
You've been in the past a few times with me, Dr. Blanchard, we've talked about the navigation, mm-hmm. the Navigators program that I know you have just rave about. Mm-hmm. And it's really a great program to kind of get patients through the maze.
Well, Elaine, you can tell more about that. You went through the navigators.
I did go through the navigators, and that's who was there the day I was told I had cancer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to get back. They meet once a month, and my intent is to get there, mm-hmm. but it's been a kind of a rapid schedule mm-hmm. for me, so I'm giving myself a little bit of an excuse, shouldn't do it. But I will be up there, and I will be up there with the breast cancer group that meets. It's a wonderful group. They met me with a folder. Mm-hmm. It had tabs in it. It had information in it. Mm-hmm. This is who we'd like for you to go see, which was Dr. Kay Blanchard and Dr. John Chenault for radiation. And I wouldn't have known anywhere else to go. If they had not navigated me into this course, wouldn't have been here. But it was, there she was. Mm-hmm. And I can't off the top of my head think of the lady.
Pam, probably.
Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And there she was. She was right there in that meeting with me. And I went in there cold. I didn't take somebody with me for that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And probably should have, but I did it. And she was there for me. And she said, we're going to get you through this. And they did. And here we are.
That's what you need.
And the big value of that is, too, is by the time they come to me, you've read a lot of stuff, and the whole deer in headlights thing is not as dramatic. And so I used to talk to patients and say, okay, you've had breast cancer, and they would not hear a thing I said after mm-hmm. that. But now they come in with their folders.
Yep.
They've looked at things on the internet. They've talked to other people. And so mm-hmm. they come in with a lot of questions. And I always like patients who come in with questions because listening.
A piece of paper is so cheap. All you have to do is write down anything you need a question mm-hmm. to. And I walk into every doctor's office with a manila folder mm-hmm. and I write things on the front, like every medicine I'm taking. I have every date of everything I'm doing with these people. And I walk in there with a list of questions and I ask them and I write my answers. And I take a second set of ears with me. My mm-hmm. daughter-in-law, God love her, Julie's been right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll say something like, well, I was going to take my bandages off. Oh, no. Dr. Blanchard said you don't take those off. So you need that other set of ears in there with you. Yeah. And you need that piece of paper so you can write those questions, because no question is too small to ask.
Because your life does change. And all of a sudden, like you say, like the medicines and you're all of a sudden
inundated.
Yeah.
And you don't remember everything.
No.
You don't. And then you do. You Google. And some things you probably shouldn't Google.
No, that's not always a good idea.
Then you Google things like Jean-Paul Pignon, and you go, oh, well, look what I'm getting coming to town. You know? So some of these things are good things to Google, and then you learn lots of things, and then you are able to make good, solid decisions.
Well, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, Dr. Blanchard, about you're treating, about treating the person. Mm-hmm. And you can see, I can just to see how you two interact, mm-hmm. you can see that's how, mm-hmm. that's exactly what's happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be able to talk to each other too. Mm-hmm. And I think in speaking as an older person, I was always taught, you know, this is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But this doctor is the same as me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to communicate, and though you still have a lot of respect for her knowledge and her title and stuff, but you have to get past that and be able to have a one-on-one. And I was able to do that with Dr. Chenault, and of course I didn't meet Dr. Pignon mm-hmm. yet, but mm-hmm. you know, you have to be able to get down there and say, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, you may not get the treatment you need.
Did you ever imagine when you got the diagnosis in December that by this time, just a few months later, feeling so good?
No. I had no idea. You know, your first thing is, it's cancer. It's C.
Yeah.
I've got 6 months, maybe a year. What the hell? Okay. But the good Lord turned it all around, and here we are. And we're just going to let everybody know.
No, that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
And that's what, and I guess that's what you just think, Dr. Blanchard, and you're just, I mean, we all are thankful for the technology, mm-hmm. but to have the technology mm-hmm. here and not as though, well, we have this technology, mm-hmm. but we're going to send you up to Johns Hopkins, we're going to mm-hmm. send you to Boston, or we're going to send you, just to have it here is, mm-hmm. is all the difference.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to get in traffic.
Yeah.
And you can go to Carl's and get ice cream when you get done with your doctor's appointment.
Yeah, Route 3 is tough as it gets around here. Breast microseed treatment is the focus this morning, and we're talking with the Dr. Kay Blanchard and Elaine Morgan. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Mary Washington Healthcare and breast microseed treatment. It is something new and exciting, and it's here. Dr. Kay Blanchard here, along with Elaine Morgan, who's been through the treatment. Dr. Blanchard, I'll have you describe again a little bit about what breast microseed treatment is.
Well, again, it's essentially the same kind of treatment that men get for prostate cancer. What it is specifically is implantation of little strings of radioactive seed pellets into the lumpectomy cavity. And it's a whole little constellation of these little seeds that get placed all around the cavity and into the cavity, because that's the localization of where highest chance of a local recurrence is. And so those seed placements are done during an outpatient procedure. I do like to put people to sleep for this, at least for the first parts of it, because to lay there and have your breast poked with a number of needles probably is not very comfortable. And so we did that with two patients so far, and Ms. Morgan is our first and the pioneer today, and has told us that it was something that was very tolerable to do. But it basically, these little pellets sit into the breast tissue and release small amount of radiation locally in that area. And once their radioactivity fades away, those little pellets do remain and will serve as a target for where future mammograms will pay particular attention to.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you what would happen mm-hmm. to them if
they stay.
They stay, if they dissolved mm-hmm. or something. So this is a one and done kind of thing. How many treatments would Elaine have had if she hadn't done this? After how many radiation treatments?
Well, there's basically three answers to that question. If she just did partial breast irradiation, that's where you would get a total of 10 treatments. And it would be the AccuBoost that they do at the radiation facility, where they would focus little beams of external radiation to the cavity itself, but that's where you do go through 10 treatments. There's whole breast irradiation, and there's two ways of doing that. One, the traditional 6 weeks, 5 days a week treatment, which does treat the whole breast, and that's been the traditional treatment. And then now there's a more, it's called hypofractionated treatment, where it's more like three and a half weeks, where it's basically the same amount of radiation, but in a slightly shorter period of time. But that's still a 3 to 4 week
So I went into surgery about 2 o'clock and mm-hmm. came out around 4:30, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and I was home at 7.
Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Mm. Now, and you said the criteria, unfortunately at this point, it's not for everybody.
Right. And again, it's something that is going to be part of a registry that Elaine has agreed to be involved with, to follow her from here going forward, to find out the effectiveness, what side effects there can be associated with this. Again, this has been done for a number of women in Europe and just starting in this country. Dr. Pignol, who actually taught us, was when we went to Rotterdam to learn how to do this, he had two other, I think there was a German radiation oncologist who was actually learning how to do it, and he was training them. So he was training people all over Europe on how to do this procedure.
He's done hundreds of this.
And so we do have long-term follow-up in mm-hmm. Europe, not here yet. But if we weren't confident about something, if there wasn't long-term follow-up on patients, it would be not something that we would endorse. But as it is, I think there's good data, and we're going to continue that to accrue data for that.
Big thank you to you, Elaine, for having the confidence in Dr. Blanchard and saying, let's do this.
Well, I was provided good educational materials, and like I said, I Googled Dr. Pignol. I mean,
and he was here for your
and he came over.
Surgery.
So I mean, how could I turn that down? I mean, you just can't. If it means that it helps 2 other people or 200 other people, doesn't matter. And it's helping me, and I did it. So I'm proud to say I did it. And, we're just going to make this happen for other women. And it's here. It's in Fredericksburg.
Yeah, well, and the fact that you had the 3D mammogram that discovered this, that you had the regular mammograms, and you did a lot of things right to get to this point.
I must have. And it was a Merry Christmas for me. But, you know, we did it. And it's going to help. It's going to help other people. And I'll be the voice for it. I'll stand up and say every day, I did it. You want to look?
Yeah.
You know? But I don't have any issues with it. And it's the pathway to go.
And as we've talked off the air, you and I have experienced the terrific cancer care in this community.
Oh, awesome. We've got the oncology center that's right across from Dr. Blanchard's office down I mean, it's just there. And it's state of the art. You walk in there, your comfort. The educational materials I've been provided at every office and everybody we've encountered, the office personnel are just fantastic. You know, you're educated every step of the way and you're confident in the doctors you're talking to and they take the time to answer your questions. Walk in with the list and don't be afraid to ask those questions because if you don't ask, you're not going to find out.
Mm-hmm. It is called Breast Microseed Treatment and through Mary Washington Healthcare. Again, it's the only one in the D.C. area and just three on the East Coast. So Dr. Blanchard, that you both are pioneers in doing this, and it just helps with cancer care. And as we've talked about the terrific cancer care, I must also mention Surgical Associates of Fredericksburg is where you will find Dr. Blanchard and where I first found Dr. Blanchard and the great folks at Surgical Associates of Fredericksburg. Well, this is exciting stuff. Elaine, it's great to meet you. I hope you two come back and we get an update along the way with this.
I think it's a good idea.
I do too.
So
during maybe in October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Sounds like a deal.
You can come in and you two can share. Thank you so much for what you do and what
you.
This is sure. A really exciting story and it's right here. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's called Breast Microseed Treatment. Dr. Kay Blanchard and Elaine Morgan, Mary Washington Healthcare is where you can find Breast Microseed Treatment. That is it for Town Talk. We will see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.